Well, great. It is good to be with you. It's fun to see kind of the excitement of the church and even just the question and answer. I just love seeing when people have really good questions to ask, and it's fun to really be partners in the work of God. And so what I'd like to do here, the first message we shared last night was on the story of God's glory. We used Elijah. And this was the altar of Elijah and versus the altar of the Baals. And we had the little competition there on Mount Carmel. And the altar is back restored now after the fire came down and burned it up. And then this morning we talked about the living God is a missionary God. The text I'd like to share with you today, or the theme I'd like to share with you tonight, or today, is... The battle for the kingdom. The battle for the kingdom. So, first of all, before we even get into the text, I might ask, what is the kingdom of God? Yes. Everything is the kingdom of God. Did I see a hand? Somebody. What else?
Heaven.
Connie. Oh, sorry. Yeah, you're going to have to watch me. I'm going to wander all over Zach. I'm going to kill you with this. No, you only one answer per question. What else do you have for the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? It's eternal. What else? Perfect? Yeah, Connie. It's living in us. Good. Good. Yeah, it's pretty big. How do you describe the kingdom of God? You know, in a short sentence or something like that. So the one child shared this with me, and I thought that is the most profound answer. It's well, wherever God is king. Oh, wow, that is really deep. I don't know, you know, what the full intent or mind, but I think that is the battle that we struggle and wrestle with. Is God king? And where is he king? Ultimately, is he king over our lives? Isn't that the ultimate question? Yes. I mean, Jesus, think about Jesus coming to his ministry, and he would cast demons out and tell demons to be quiet and restore limbs and everything. But when he told people to do things, they often would do the opposite. That is the battle for the kingdom. And the battle for the kingdom goes all the way back to Genesis, if we think about Satan and the serpent coming. The battle then resurfaces all through Scripture, but it comes again in Matthew chapter 4. And that's what we're going to be looking at, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And so, again, I need a couple of, one volunteer, again. Eli, I already used you for, and I already used you too, Joshua. So I need another volunteer. Who am I going to get? Oh, well, thanks for volunteering. Bill, I just needed a person, so don't. But this time, Matthew chapter 4, you are Jesus. As opposed to Satan, we couldn't do the other role.
Yeah.
He's need a nice person. Okay, so the text begins in Matthew chapter 4, where it's interesting. Jesus comes up from the baptism, and then the very next thing is this text. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And Satan came to him, the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, take these stones and cause them to be bread." And Jesus said, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on that chair. Had him stand on the highest point in the city. Yeah, if you would, if you can, I'll try it. You can. Excuse me. I'm in Luke. I'm doing the wrong one. Luke had him stand at the highest point in the city and said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you, that He will not let your feet strike a stone." And Jesus said, "It is also written, You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then again, the devil took him to a very high mountain. This is a very high mountain right there. You can, if you want, you can stand up there. That would help the illustration just a little bit. Beautiful. And he showed him all of the nations of the world and their splendor. And he said, "All of this I will give to you if you will bow down and worship me." And Jesus said, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him. And angels came and ministered to him. Okay? All right, now it's quiz time. We're going through the short... we'll do this just walking through it together here. So then Jesus was led by who? Spirit where? Into the desert, the wilderness. To be what? Why? To be tested by the devil. And he fasted for how long? And then what was Jesus' response to that? He was hungry. You guys could be teachers in another country, I think. You could be oral instructors. I'm going to take you with Brian. Brian, I've got to schedule a trip with you and your boys. I'm going to just take you and the whole... Connie, I don't know. I'm going to hijack your kids to come with me. I'm going to take... She can stay here. I'll just take your boys. We'll talk about that later. Okay. So after fasting 40 days and 40 days, he was hungry. And the Satan came to him and said, what?
Make yourself
the bread. Yes. And... But before he said that, he said, If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus replied, it is written, man. Nice. Very nice. I like that one, the whole unity of every man shall not live on bread alone, but by. Yes, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So then Satan took him to where? Yes, the holy city, and had him stand on the highest point in the city, or at the temple, and said, "If you are," did it say it's written? It said, "No, if you are the Son of God, do what? Throw yourself down, because, for it is written." He will command his angels concerning you. What? That his command his angels concerning you that you would not strike your foot against the stone. And Jesus replied, it is we should not test the Lord your God. Man, alive, I just love this. Then he took him, Satan took him to where?
High point.
And what did he show him? all the nations, all the kingdoms of the earth. And their splendor. And what did he say? I'll give this to you if... Yep, and worship me. And Jesus said, away from me, Satan, because it is written, yes, worship the Lord your God only. And so then Satan left him, and angels came and attended. See, now you can already see, I mean, aside from these, the amazing memories up in front here, but just simple things, simple little actions, and all of a sudden you could tell that story almost word for word to somebody, and just two times through it. Because you're not just remembering words, you're remembering the flow of the actions and what was happening next and how and all of these little things. So now we get into the study of that text. Interesting that Jesus is led by the Spirit. I mean, that's not interesting. I mean, we would expect that, assume that. But he's led by the Spirit into the desert. Let's start with, what is a desert? The dry, yep. We're going to give the adults a chance here a second. What else is a desert? Yep, wilderness is another word that's sometimes used. Arid, desolate. Desolate meaning no people. Uninhabited, good. Yeah. Africa, you've seen some wilderness. Describe the wilderness there in Africa just a bit. So it's very natural. Yeah, good. Good. Yeah. Nice. So myself, I'm a fan of the Boundary Waters. It's another type of wilderness. Plenty of water, no people, no food. Now, so I'm going to go into the application because it helps us as we get into the rest of the text. What are the deserts that people face in their lives today? What are the deserts that people face in their lives today? Okay. Time when you're feeling empty from spiritually speaking. What else? Sin. Loneliness, okay? Yeah. Yeah. Stress. Yeah. 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 Sickness, illness, all that kind of thing. And you've dealt with cancer in a number of ways here in the congregation. There are physical deserts. There are emotional deserts. Connie's talking about. There's illness and those type of things. There's even deserts like you're talking about. You can be around people. And there's still, you know, holiday seasons. One of the most lonely times. Yeah, without Christ, we're in death. So it's interesting then that the Holy Spirit would lead Jesus to a desert. To be tempted. Why? Why would the Holy Spirit lead Jesus, you know, all three in the Trinity, and we're not going to get into all that in this moment, but why would the Holy Spirit lead Jesus to the desert? And maybe even you could ask the question, why would the Holy Spirit lead you or allow you to be in a desert? That's where the application comes in. I'm jumping ahead just a bit, but you can relate to others. They're also struggling in those places. Good. And so if we are also in a desert and they're in a desert, then we're both in a desert and at least we're having fun together in the desert. Is that it? What more is it than that? Okay.
You can't do it alone. You're trusting in the Lord.
Yeah. Why were the Israelites allowed to go out into the desert, or even directed very, very deliberately there? What are you going to say, Brian? Yeah. What our response is, that has a huge effect. And interesting, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tested. What's the purpose of testing? Here's the chance, you guys, first row, you get to answer this. What's the purpose of a test? Is that why you take a test at school? To see if you learned anything. We're going to go with that one. Weed out and filter. What about some of the others of you? Perseverance. It produces perseverance. The test does. Yeah. Okay. Builds faith. Remember in metal shop, we were, our project for the one section was to make a metal punch. And you pounded the metal and then you annealed it. You put it into the water really slowly. And then the instructor would test it. You know, take it on the anvil and smash it. And if it did not break, you passed. If it broke, you failed. It was just that simple. It shows the strength. It grows the perseverance. And it's the dependence. We talked about that. To be tested by the devil. The devil is allowed to do that into our lives. Unfortunately, is much be. Yet we need it. Why do we need that? Why do we need the testing? To rely on Christ. Yeah. We need to be purified, brought through the fire. Yeah. And so then now, as we spent almost half of the time talking about this beginning part of that text, which we sometimes we gloss right over, we get into those three tests, the three types of tests, and we miss some of that point. That the Lord is actually using those things in our lives that are the most difficult to bring out in us the greatest power, not in our own strength. You get in 40 days in the wilderness, you're not going to have any strength of yourself. Even Jesus in his mortal body, he's not going to have strength in his own mortal body. So the tests, what type of tests? We've got the three. First one, the food, the second one is the temple, third one is this. What do those signify? Physical needs? You guys think in the front row, you get one answer for this next this question here. What's the significance of the test? More answers? What is that test? What does it signify? Physical, you said. Physical test. Okay. Well, we're going to come to that in a minute. So it's a physical, it's the body. So, yeah. What ways are we tested physically? Test of the body, you know, the broad way. Term, yeah. What is it, Brad? Okay, sure. Illnesses and things in that manner. What's another test of the body? No. Well, I suppose it's part of the body, so I can't get wrong on that. So what else? Test of the body. Okay. Endurance and whether you can hang in there and make it. Dr. Cole there, you're in the back row. I'm not going to let you off just because you're sitting in the back row.
Yes.
What does that physical test look like? Oh, yeah. There you go. So there's the physical, as far as ailments and illness on that side. There's also the physical, as far as temptations for pleasure. And you can go through all the different addictions that are a part of that. And all of those are a part of those temptations of the body. I put you on the spot there, Bob. I know you're always thinking, you're probably two steps ahead of me. Okay, what about the test here at the temple? Not sure that I need to illustrate it this way, but... What is the point of that test? Connie? Pride of... Very good. Very good. It's a test of if you are the Son of God. That's repeated all three times, but throw yourself down. All the angels will not let you strike your foot. Yeah. Yes, sir. Oh, okay. Sure. There's the battle of the mind. And isn't pride also a battle of the mind? Mental battle. Yeah. What ways do we see that battle of the mind come out in our lives? I'll come back to you. Deception. Okay. Deception. A little more. Give me a word or two more there. Oh, doubting. Yep. What other ways of the battle of the mind? Okay. Okay. Yeah. Power? Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's this... why the temple? Why is it right here that Satan takes him? Well, this is the pinnacle place. This is the holy place. This is where all the people come together. If you're going to do a miracle, do it here. And that comes back to the pride theme. You said power. What are you meaning by that? Uh-huh. Position. Yeah, yeah. Okay, Laya? Say again? Our mind and our emotions that are part of that battle, a mental battle. Good. What about the battle over here at the high mountain? Shows them all the splendors of the world. All the nations, all the kingdoms and their splendor. Okay, I'm going to come back to you. You're killing me. I'm killing you when I say that. Greed. All of the kings in the world and their splendor. Greed. What else? How do you describe that one? Idolatry. All of these things. Yeah. The temporal. If you think of the three, one is the body, the mind, and the eyes. You could think of it that way if you want, whatever ways. The question then is, how are you doing in that test? Because that test was not just a matter of Jesus. Because that same test was given to Adam and Eve. And if you look there in Genesis 3, it talks about the fruit was good, pleasing to the eyes, and to make us give us knowledge, to make us wise, I think is the way it's stated. And good for the taste, pleasing to the eyes, and to make us wise. The same battle that was facing Adam and Eve is the same battle that faces us in our lives, the battles of our mind. Of our bodies, whether it's physical, whether it's pleasure and addictions and all that kind of temptations. The same temptations that Jesus faced here, the battle of the mind, and you talked about doubt. Those are battles that we face. Or if it's the kingdoms of the world, And I flipped on TV a mistake last night as I was watching, or just to see. We don't have a TV at our house, so I was just curious what TV shows. And I found a Jungle Gold, and it was a story about Africa, Ghana, and this gold rush in Ghana and all of this. And it was just that. It was just all of the gold, and I didn't see any positive ending out of the thing. I didn't watch it very, very long, but so how are you doing on that test? Point is of this text, why this is here, is because the battle of the kingdom, the king having rule over our own lives, was beaten when Jesus faced it here in these three scenarios, led into the desert, and was ultimately defeated on the cross, where they were shouting the same things to him. Come down, if you are the Son of God, come yourself down. And all of the bodily torture that he faced, all of the questions and doubts, even the people calling out, if you are the Son of God, all of those things. The battle was won because he stayed on the cross, not that he couldn't have come down. So when it comes to the battle of your life, you and I are very much like in the wilderness, and weak, 40 days without food, and just that's how we feel sometimes. And you're not going to, don't go to yourself and say, oh, I got to beat this battle. Run to Jesus. Cling to the cross. Say to Satan when he asks, it is written, my sins are paid for. And you have no control over me, Satan, because my Savior already defeated you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we don't have to look very far into our own lives to see the battles that we face. We don't have to look very far into our lives to see the deserts. And in those times, it is so tempting to try and to win the battle or defeat Satan in our own strength. But Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. It just reminds us clearly of your power to say, away from me, Satan, because you are the victor.
Oh Lord, we pray for each in the deserts that we go through. In our own lives, we ask, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to us, show us, even use those deserts in our lives for your glory and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name.